want to say welcome this evening for each of you coming and sharing in this time of worship. Pray the Lord will bless us as we come together to worship Him in spirit and truth. As we look at the bulletin, are there any other announcement than those that are in the bulletin? Anything needs to claim our attention? Anything you know of? Everybody knows what's going to happen next Sunday, right? Brother Sam is going to be here, and you're going to hear some good preaching. Oh, I'll not get into that. You'll see. If there's no other announcement other than that, remember everything starts 30 minutes earlier for Sunday school. I mean later. I'm sorry, not earlier. What have you here? Later. Sunday school and also church, and then we'll have our time of fellowship and food in the fellowship hall. So please remember that. Bring your favorite dish, and we'll eat it together. If you have your Bibles, though, I'd invite you to turn with me tonight to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. The book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Paul's letters to the churches are some of my favorite passages, favorite scriptures, favorite books of the Bible, I guess we could say, in the New Testament. Because it deals with the practicality of the Christian experience and the Christian life. And what Paul is relating to the church at Ephesus is the power to stay in the faith and also to learn how to live out your faith. And if you go through the whole gamut of the book of Ephesians, you see he talks about this. He uses three analogies in the book of Ephesians. And I'll not divulge you to know that. You can look and see and study yourself. But we're going to look at one of them tonight. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. There's a word that says in verse 1, therefore be therefore followers. And the term followers in Ephesians 5, 1 is the word mimic that comes out of a Greek language. So it can be easily translated. In other words, be ye imitators as God, as your beloved children. This sets the theme for this section of the Word of God. It is a simple saying that children are many times like their parents. You say, whoa, wait just a minute. Boy, if that's true, some of us better watch out, had we not. The fact can be both embarrassing as well as encouraging when we say that. But when we think about it from a spiritual standpoint, we need to realize, as you look at it from the physical standpoint, many children, many especially sons, they like and they try to imitate what their father does. And I've seen this, and you've seen it as well. They'll go out there and they'll sit in that car and they'll may out like they driving that thing like he drives, wide open. Amen? Budden, budden, budden. Then, I remember walking in the fur behind my father as he plowed or worked in the field, just stepping in his steps. You thought you was doing something real big when you was able to finally stretch out your legs far enough to walk in your father's steps. And then some pick up bad habits like smoking and drinking and every other thing the world is engaged in today. But they pick it up many times from their parents. It's a proven fact that children learn more by watching and imitating others they come in contact with, especially those of their family. So we need to be careful, do we not? Therefore, as children, as Paul is writing here, and as children of God, we ought to imitate Him. Amen? Here Paul gives us the basic three admonitions in this section. And if we can look at it, we can pick those out. And they also have a correlation to the book of John. In John 4:8, he says, God is love. And there's our first section, walk in love. And then he talks about in 1 John 1:5 that God is light, therefore walk as children of light. And then also in 1 John 5:6, he talks about God is truth. Therefore, we are to walk in that truth and in the wisdom of God. And that's exactly what we want to look at tonight. Those three aspects of what God would have us to do. So would you stand for the reading of God's word and remain standing for prayer? I'm going to read all these passages through 1 through 17, so you need to be aware of that. Okay, as we look together, he says, as we stand and read the word of God together, then remaining for prayer, he says, be ye therefore therefore follows, are imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, or making ourselves pleasing to God. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The negative, then he gives the positive. For this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye lights in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth maketh manifest is light. For whatsoever, Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray together. Our Father, once again we bow to give you thanks and to praise you for the opportunity of worship. We thank you for the blessed privilege we have to call you our Father, Abba Father. And Lord, with all the significance and all the ramifications of that, we have yet to comprehend what they are. But we realize, Lord, the awesome privilege we have to know you and to come into a relationship with you through the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, tonight as we look together in your word, we pray that you would speak to us directly through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would help us to recognize and understand as your children, there are responsibilities as we live in this dim, dark, dismal world. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to be the witnesses you would have us to be. Help us to radiate and to relate the very person and personality of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Lord, there are many here tonight that has individuals on their heart as they pray for them, for their salvation. And God, the best testimony and the best witness we can be is to live the life and live the life of Jesus Christ. Let him live that through us, that we can point them to him and not to ourselves. Father, I pray tonight that you will bless and be with those that are less fortunate. There are many that's on our prayer list. There were many that were mentioned tonight in the prayer groups and the ladies and the men. And God, you know each problem. You know each circumstance. You know each need. And Lord, we just commit them all to you. And we ask you to work your redemptive will and purpose out in and through those things. Lord, tonight as we come together, we pray that you would help us to be open to you. And I pray once again, God, as only I know how to pray, that you'd take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you'd speak through them the truth of your word. All I can do, Lord, is make myself available to you, and I come humbly before you and ask you, Lord, to take me and use me for your glory. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you have done, but we look to you with great anticipation and great expectation, God, of what you can and will do when we humble ourselves and we come before you and we seek your face, and Lord, we trust you in every aspect of life. God, do that which only you can, and even now we're going to thank you and to praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone and for his glory. Amen. As we look at the first admonition that the Apostle Paul was talking about there in this section. He says that we are to be imitators of God. We are to be followers, and the term there is the term likeness, and the likeness of, and the imitators, if you please, mimic. But there's something else he talks about here. He says, if we're going to be what God would have us to be, if we're going to imitate our Father, we need to recognize that we must walk in love. And when I say walk in love, we need to know why. We need to know how, or we need to know why, how, and when do we do this. Verse 1 and 2, he talks about it here. See, the admonition ties the last two verses, the verses of chapter 4 together. I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth. I can't see what I'm saying. But anyhow, in chapter 4, look at the last two verses of chapter 4. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath. That's past action with future results. That's a continuation. Hath forgiven you. And then he says, be ye followers. And he says, walk in love. So we see what he's talking about there is a warning to us against all bitterness and anger. You know, it's tragic when these things shows up in the life of a believer. But I have seen it time and time and over again as a pastor. Someone will get their feelings hurt. And I've seen it happen in business meetings where people get their feelings hurt and they storm out of the business meeting because they did not get their way, or it did not happen like they wanted it to happen. And let me tell you something, that is, you can call it what you want to, but that is childish. That is childish. Yes, we're a child of God, but yes, we're to be mature in our growing process where we recognize this. So here he says that God is love. God is love. We are to walk in love, please, if you please. The answer to why, let me tell you why. The reason why we're to do that is simply because we are a child of God. A child of God. What a privilege. What an awesome privilege it is to be called a child of God. But not only that, not only the why, but also here, the how he says, but not only we are to walk we're children of God, but not only that, we are God's beloved child, if you please. Be ye imitators of God. You know, in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, at Jesus' baptism, after his baptism, the Bible says that God spoke from heaven, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God looks at you and me in the same light because of our relationship with him through the person of Jesus Christ as his well-beloved or beloved child. Paul, in his letters, if you go back and look, many times he starts those letters like that, beloved, because he understands the terminology and what it means to be a child of God, but also to be loved of God. And that's the whole terminology there, beloved, being loved by God. Also, turn to John just a moment, the high priest. Priestly prayer. We looked at this the other night, the last time I was here. John 17th chapter. This is Jesus. This is the model prayer. If you want to know the model prayer, this is the model prayer. It's not in Matthew the 6th chapter there where we say so many times, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm reminded of that every time I read that or come across that or hear that. I remember that every day at school, we begin our day with that model prayer that Jesus gave. They come over the loudspeaker, and they'd select someone to recite that prayer to lead us in prayer. But that's a thing of the past, my friend. And we need to realize we need to wake up and smell the roses. But in John the 17th chapter, starting in verse 20, look what Jesus said. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their witness, that they may be what?" I didn't hear you. Be what? One, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be what? One where? In us. Did you catch that? Do you understand that? They may be one in us. Whew, we could camp out right there and stay a while. That they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 22. and the glory which thou gavest me have I given them. That says, the glory which Jesus radiated in his life, he has given that to us. We are to glorify God in our life. That's why he said in Matthew 6:14, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and not glorify you, not glorify your church, but glorify the Father which is in heaven. Look at it. Let's look at it right on. Where did I leave off? I don't even know. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given to them, that they may be what? One, even as we are one. Did you catch that? Look in verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made, what? Perfect in one. May be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast what? Loved me. What is Jesus praying there? What is he saying to the Father? He is drawing the parallel to the relationship that we have with God as the oneness with him and the Father. And let me tell you something. The only way that we can have that relationship with the Father is through Jesus Christ. I don't care what religion says today. I don't care what that idiot on television tries to tell you. The only way that you can have a relationship with God is through the person of Jesus Christ. And I just saw a man the other day lead in prayer, and he must have been forewarned because he could not close that prayer by using "in Jesus' name." Let me tell you something. If you don't pray in Jesus' name, you might as well keep your mouth shut. Because, see, he's the mediator. He's the one who's between us and God. He is our mediator. He pleads for us the things before the Father. We come to Father in Jesus' name, or we do not come at all. Period. So here we see Jesus has drawn the analogy of that, the oneness of that. And that's what Paul is talking about here. See, because we are beloved children, because we are purchased with a great price, Jesus gave himself, and we are God's purchased possession, if you please. See, our love for him, listen to me closely, our love for him is our response to his love to us. Did you get that? Our love for him is our response to his love for us. Here he says and uses a term there verse 2 of chapter 5 where we are. Walk in love as children also hath loved, as Christ has also loved us and hath given to us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Look at that term. It does not say for a tithe. Tithe is the duty part of the Old Testament. And many people today, they think that just because I tithe, then I'm in a right relationship with God, and they may be. But the thing about it is, as a child of God, we must go beyond that, and our life is to be expressed to God and the goodness of God as we present an offering. Here it's talking about the offering and the commitment of the sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus presented himself as above the duty and command of the law, and he gave himself uniquely for us so that he could be that offering and sacrifice to make us right with God, if you please, so that our life and what he did for us, that what he done pleased God and satisfied God as he gave himself for us. So if we look at this very close, we can see it was well-pleasing to God. It satisfied the holy law of God. It satisfied everything. So see what happened is I owed a debt that I could not pay. And I got news for you, you did too. But see what Jesus did, he paid a debt he did not owe. And he did it for each one of us. He did not have to do that, but he done it because he loved us so that we could have that unique relationship with God. Paul's trying to help us to understand that we are to walk in that kind of love as we walk before a lost and dying world. The second thing, how are we to walk as children of light? How are we to walk as children of light? First of all, we are saints. And I got news for you. If you are a saint, and if you know Jesus Christ, you are a saint. You don't have to die and then pull you up in history and make you a saint because of some good deed or something you did. Paul, as he related to the churches of those believers there, he called them saints. And as a saint, listen to me very closely, a saint will automatically walk in light. Why? Because they are set apart by God because of what transpired in their life. Turn to 1 Peter 4 just a moment. 1 Peter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2, 9. I look at my 1 Peter 2, 9. Look what it says here. He says there, I'm in James, I better get in Peter, I reckon. 1 Peter 2, 9, it says this. But ye are a chosen generation, chosen by God, a royal priesthood, not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood, one that has the right and authority to come before Almighty God, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul or the flesh or the spirit. And we need to understand that we are saints. Whether you like it or not, you're a saint. But we're more than that. We're also kings in our text in verse 5 and 6. He says, for this ye know, that no whoremongers or unclean person or covetous or idolater hath the inheritance of the kingdom of God in his Christ. That's the place, the scope. And no man, that let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Turn back to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says this. Ye also, as lively stones, not dead rocks, but lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by who? By Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. Peter is relating the aspect of the child of God and the life that he's to live. We are to be those who walk in love, if you please. We are to walk as children of light, kings of another kingdom. He's talking about the term is used of the term pronos is used in this passage of scripture we read there, and it's an interesting word to look at. Whoremongers is translated from the word pronos, which we get our word pornography out of, and that should say something to us because pornography is one of those things that has to deal with all kind of fornication. So that is one of those things that we're to be very careful. And what Paul is saying here, he says, we are lights. Listen to this. We are lights. The main thrust of this passage is that we are lights. That's what he said there. We are lights. Verse 3. Blessed be the Father and Lord of our Jesus Christ. Well, I'm in 1 Peter. I'm going to go back to where I was at. Ephesians. I'm sorry. Ephesians 5. He says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself an offering sacrifice unto the sweet smell. And then he talks about being followers of God. But then he goes into talking about being lights, being the light. And we're to walk as children of the light. In verse 13 to 14, he says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Of course, we know that light is used for several purposes. Light is used from the purpose of it reveals and exposes the wrong. And Jesus talked about that, or John talked about it in John the 3rd chapter. And we read that verse this morning about he came for that purpose. And light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Light also is used as we think about vegetation. Or something you plant, the light of the sun, the rays of the sun, gives it the energy to produce fruit as it draws the nutrients out of the ground. And as the sunlight is a bearing on it, it is used to bear fruit or to bring forth fruit. But God, it also, the light reveals to us God and who God is. But there's something else too. Light also helps us to recognize and bring us to the truth and the right. Let me ask you a question. If you had a problem, had some surgery that had to be done, and you went to the doctor and he carried you back into the operating room and he got you on the table and he says, I'm going to go in and remove this tumor, whatever it may be, this growth, whatever it may be. But he says, before we do that, he says, I'm going to turn all the lights off and I'm going to just feel my way through this. What would you do? I imagine you'd vacate the premises pretty quick, would you not? But see, light is for a purpose, and that's exactly what Paul is relating here. The purpose to make us aware of some things. So light is for a purpose, and we're to walk in light. But he also uses another analogy, and that is we're to walk in wisdom. And if I could put an emphasis on that, he is saying walk in wisdom now, not later, but now. The word he uses there, that we're to walk circumspectfully. The term circumspectfully comes from two Latin words, which literally means looking around, seeing what's going on. And it's not tomorrow that you look around, but it's the day you look around. And this is the reason that we're in such a mess we are in America today, is because we wait till tomorrow to look around for things that we ought to have been seeing about last week or last month or last year. And we are in the mess we're in because people put off looking around and seeing what's going on. Folks, as a people of God, we need to recognize that we're in critical times in the history of the United States of America. We're in the most, I'll put it this way, we're in the most critical times that we've ever been in as far as what's going on in our world and in our nation. We need to understand that we as a people of God, we must take a stand. We must stand up and be counted. See, the word circumspectly means for us to look around and to really evaluate. See, the Greek word carries with the idea of precision and accuracy. Or see that you walk carefully with exactness is the meaning, if we can draw the parallel there. The opposite of that is walking carelessly and without proper guidance or even forethought what's going to take place. But that is not, should not, cannot be for those who are imitators of God, period. It cannot be. Why? Because see, as we walk, this is not a mark of wisdom if we walk in those kind of things. But we need to come to realize that we're to walk in the way that God would have us to walk. Let's just say you're going on a trip. You've never been that place before. What do you do? Do you sit down with a map and you try to plan ahead the best route, the best way to go? That is just being smart, is it not? I talked with a man the other day. Matter of fact, it was Friday. Yeah, Friday evening. He was from Sullivan, Kentucky, and he's just riding through the country. Does not have any place particular to go. He said he'd like to go to Tallahassee, but no place in particular to go, just riding around, going through. He's 83 years old. As I talked with him, he buried his mother in 1995. He's not married. He has some friends and others. But his family, the family that he has, the family don't even know where he's at. But see, that's kind of, I didn't want to tell him that, but it's kind of crazy to do something like that in this day and world in which we live. Driving an old Dodge van, 1978 or 79. Oil had blowed out on the back doors. I mean, it covered the back doors. That thing looked like it blew up most any time. But yet the thing about it is when we plan a trip, many times we sit down with a map and we kind of go through the map of how we're going to go where we're going. Life should be a planned process as we think about life. And whenever we think about eternal life, there's a roadmap for us to follow, and it is the Word of God, to know the destination that God has for us. So we need to understand, because life is short. That's what it says there in verse 16. The first part says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. But then it says, why? It says, because the days are what? Evil. Do I need to say anything else? Do I need to say anything else? Are the days in which you and I live, are they evil? Redeeming. This term means buying up the opportunity or taking advantage of the opportunity. Opportunity. The Latin word meaning toward the point or port. It suggests a ship taking advantage of the wind and the tide to bring it safely into the harbor. And that's exactly the way our lives are as we anchor them in the person of Jesus Christ. The brevity of life, the shortness of life, the whole thing, the strong argument of that is we need to understand that. And that's what Paul is trying to relate here in these verses. The brevity of life and the shortness of it. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. Why? God has given us a mind to ration with. Look in verse 17a. Wherefore be ye not what? Unwise. Be ye not unwise. The terminology means, it comes from the term ignoramus. Don't be ignorant. Don't be unwise. He also reiterates that. Redeeming the time. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Why now? Let me tell you. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and the sooner that we align ourselves with God's will and plan and purpose, the better off we will be. I was talking with another man this past week, talking about the vocation in which he was engaged in, and talking about how that many people they can't stand the job they're on. They hate to go to work because of the circumstance in the job and the things that's happening in their job. And they just cannot hardly feel like, as a child of God and as a Christian, they can live in that Christian, in that relationship of that job and to maintain their Christian principles. If you have to forfeit your principles, yes, you need to leave. But maybe God has put you there in that job, and that's the only witness that there is in that job, and you need to stay if you can. But what I'm trying to relate is this. Our vocation, the things that we do, ought to be wrapped up in the will and the purpose of God. And young people, let me tell you something. You need to find a place where you can feel comfortably doing what God wants you to do. I don't care what it is. Here, he's saying, God has a plan. Listen, that is what life is all about, is it not? Understanding what the will of the Lord is and doing it for the glory of God, doing it for God's sake. Close with Romans 12, 1 and 2. And you know that passage of Scripture. You probably know it by heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. Not a dead offering, but a living sacrifice. And look what he says. A living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, holy, Look at it. Let's go back and look at it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, and I've said this before, that term service means worship as well. Reasonable service of the things you do for God and the things you're involved in with God. Then in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the world to push you into its mold where you look like, act like, smell like the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The most important thing in your life, the most important thing in my life, is to know and to respond and be obedient to the will of God for your life. See, the thing is, it is custom made for you. The will of God for your life is not the will of God for my life. The will of God for each individual person is custom made by God. And what the problem is, so many times, as Paul did on the Damascus Road, we kick against the traces and we kick against the things in our life and we injure ourselves because we do not want to fall in line with God's plan and purpose, and we suffer the consequences when we do not. But when we come to know and to understand the will of God, and I've said that this before, and I'll say it again, the will of God is doing what God wants you to do, when God wants you to do it, with the strength and power He gives you to do it with, and that's what it's all about. See, I can't do what God wants you to do. You can't do what God wants me to do. But let me tell you something. When and if we fall in line with the will of God for our lives, let me tell you something, our church will be a different place to worship. Our lives will be different because we understand the seriousness of this. And that's what Paul is saying here. Redeeming the time, buying back the process, and making good of it. And we need to do that, do we not? We need to do that. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us on the cross. He gave us all so that you and I, if you please, can know the will of God and align our lives with the will and the purpose of God and be found faithful in walking in love, making, if you please, our Father happy by being imitators or followers of Him. When we think about the love of God, and that's what it is, walk in love, not walk in my love, but walk in His love. And you walk by taking one step at a time. It's a process in life. And I think that's what Paul is relating here for us. The process of life is making one step after the other as we move through life, being obedient to God and to His will and purpose for us. God, help us to do that. Let's pray together. Father, tonight I do not know the hearts here, but God, You do. And the thing that really matters, Lord, is what we know about ourselves as You make known to us who we really are. Father, tonight I pray that You would help us to respond to the admonition from Your word that we're to walk in love. We're to recognize who we are as Your children, whose we are. We're to walk in wisdom because in and through that, Lord, we understand the role that You want in our life as we seek it out by the study of Your word, by praying and doing the things You'd have us to. Lord, I don't know hearts here, but I know You do, and I pray, God, that there's one here that has never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that this would be the night, this would be the time, it's the now. Not next week, but the now that really matters. And God, I pray that You would help them to respond to You in simple childlike faith. Lord, You might have spoke to a heart here tonight, calling them to a recommitment, a reaffirmation of their faith. That Lord, the altar's open, and I pray, God, that You'd move in their lives as only You can. Help us to be obedient children. Help us to understand what it means to be an obedient child of Yours, because we are seeking the instructions from the Father. we're listening to the Father, and we're doing the things the Father would have us to do. God, help us to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone and for His glory. Amen. Hymn of commitment, hymn of invitation.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love.